As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of mega doses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula. 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, ThePowerHerbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3!
Can you tell?
live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here on Herb Talk. It's all about empowerment. Thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network, WWCR, and other networks. We got a great show. We're going to be talking about over-the-counter birth control. That's right. It's here. We got some other things to talk about and a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in uniform. I'm hitting the knees. I'm seeking the Lord's face. I'm minding the time because it grows short. So our devotional today is, let's see, this is 2 Samuel chapter 22, and it says, "As for God, his way is perfect, and the word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him." So if you know what a buckler is, it's a very short, not really a sword, but it's more like a, I don't know what I'm saying, Frank. It's not like a lance. It's not as long as a sword, but it's for intimate combat. So, you know, if the enemy gets close, don't worry. God's got it covered. So seek the Lord's face, mind the time. It grows short. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right, we're going to talk about the FDA has approved the first over-the-counter birth control pill. And we're going to talk a little bit more in depth on that in the first segment of the show. So the birth control pills, you know, have been around a while, but they've had some adverse health effects, and the Food and Drug Administration just green-lighted or approved a new drug for over-the-counter, so you don't need a prescription. It's going to be sold in the United States. 17 advisors of the FDA voted unanimously this last May to make the medication available over-the-counter despite some issues that were brought up by the agency concerning its application. So what they were worried about was some data that included in a study which found that many volunteers reported taking more pills than they should have, and the agency was questioning if younger women and those with limited literacy could follow the dosing directions. So over-the-counter birth control pills are going to be available now in the United States, but it's also in other countries like Greece and South Korea. So we'll see. They expect to it's not available now. It won't be available until early 2024. So coming up real soon, you're going to have this medication available for everyone to just buy. Mm-hmm. What'd you say, Frank? Over-the-counter birth control. You mean the vaccine? No, these are pills, Frank. No, these are pills. So these are oral, by mouth, pills. But we're going to get into some of the details about that in a little bit. All right, last but not least in the quack report, the tornado damages Pfizer's plant in North Carolina. Going to lead to some long-term drug shortages. This is a Pfizer pharmaceutical. There was a tornado recently. Ripped through some of their buildings. And it's now threatening production of some of the medicines they make. The flood parts of Kentucky also had communities, and California and South Florida also had some issues. But according to reports, 50,000 pallets full of medicine were strewn all across the facility, and they got damaged through rain and wind, so those are all disposed of. This particular plant, which is near Raleigh, North Carolina, produces anesthesia meds, sterile injectable medications, 25% of the nation's volume on that. Also, Pfizer said that this will likely lead to a long-term shortage while they work with other companies to improve on production and rebuild. So, just FYI. And that wraps the quack report. Thank you, Frank. Okay, so we're going to be talking about this over-the-counter birth control. Usually it's, you know, pretty prescription, your doctor's monitoring you a bit and that kind of thing, but just this past July, so May and July, the FDA had meetings and they approved the sale of the over-the-counter birth control called Opill, or Opill, O-P-I-L-L. It's really also considered a drug class called norgestrel. So we're told that this birth control drug requires no prescription, and unlike the prescription birth control pills, there's a combination of progesterone and estrogen in the prescribed type. But Opill is a synthetic hormone progestin, and it helps block sperm in the cervix area, the cervix of the female. So the cost of this Opill is $10 to $50 without insurance, which is basically what other contraceptives run. So it's unclear, though, if the insurance companies or even Medicaid will cover the cost of this over-the-counter medication. Opill over-the-counter contraceptive is sold in the UK, South America, Asia, Africa, Greece, and South Korea, soon to be in the United States. So why are they sending this over-the-counter? Well, it's kind of interesting why the FDA approved the sale of this birth control drug to be without a prescription. The Opill drug costs about the same as a prescribed form containing the estrogen and progestin, and if you have health insurance, it may cost nothing. So the real cost of keeping the population down, which with these kind of drugs, is soon going to be evident. All right, so how does this drug work? Well, the synthetic progesterone produces this thick mucus in the cervix. It prevents sperm from fertilizing the egg. So the drug also thins the lining of the uterus, making it less suitable for the egg to be implanted. And the drug also attempts to prevent ovulation and the release of an egg. And females are told to follow the product directions by taking the drug at the same time each day. So the drug has to maintain a certain level of drug in the body to, I guess, work. Now, if women forget to take the drug several hours late, it can produce vomiting and diarrhea. And pregnancy is very likely if they are engaging in intercourse. So sperm is able to remain alive and active in the cervix area for up to 5 days. So it can take 2 days for the drug actually to build up into the system to work. So even with all the precautions, the efficiency rate is 98%. Supposedly a little better than the prescribed version, which is like 93%. Well, let's look at some of the side effects. So women bear the brunt of the side effects taking birth control medications. And this drug, Opill, is really no exception. So the FDA states that it's very safe for most women to use, and the side effects listed are nausea, breast tenderness, increased appetite, acne, fatigue, headaches, irregular vaginal bleeding, which could be a combination of continuous spotting, heavy bleeding, or missed periods, may have no menstrual cycle at all eventually, lowers the risk of blood clots, but they're not absent it lowers the risk because it doesn't have estrogen, but blood clots are still on the list. High blood pressure is on the list, depression, severe stomach and abdominal pain, dark urine, yellowing of the eyes and skin, blood clots, deep vein thrombosis, trouble breathing, rash and itching, swelling of the face, tongue, and throat, dizziness, heart attack, pulmonary embolism, stroke, and vision changes, and possible blindness, just from a birth control pill. So the sign of a sudden dark urine can actually indicate that the kidneys or the liver are in distress, not working properly, probably with heavy inflammation. So if urine is dark brown, black, or your stool looks like coffee grounds, it really is an indicator your liver is too toxic, and it's usually due to a drug use. Also, they also recommend that some people avoid this drug. The FDA say women with cancer or a history of cancer should not use the drug, and women taking certain medications should also not use the drugs because certain hormonal drugs can exacerbate cancer situations. So if you're on, they say don't take it if you're on seizure meds, tuberculosis medicine, HIV or AIDS medications, pulmonary or hypertension medication. So what is in this thing? What is in Opill? Well, we're told the drug is a norgestrel drug, which is a combination of stereoisomers and dextrogesterol, and also called levonorgestrel. Levonorgestrel. I'll get it out there for you. So what are these things? Well, a synthetic steroidal progesterone is combined with the following. Ethanol estradiol, which is an estrogen used to treat menopause. Also, stereoisomers are molecule sequences, similar atoms, holds things together, binds, that kind of thing. Then dextrotronorgestrel, it's a 17-alpha-hydroxysteroid made to reverse or inhibit enzymes. Then levonorgestrel is used as a kind of an emergency contraceptive to protect from pregnancy after intercourse. So the drug does not really perform well in women that are over 164 pounds. And it's a synthetic form of progestin, and it's another name for the morning after pill called RU486. So Opill also has progesterone, and what is that made of? Well, here is the specific ingredient list. It's extracted from testosterone, making a form of progesterone, which is a synthetic hormone that can impact the body's salt and water balance. It is often combined with other ingredients. So, you know, it's got additives and stuff like that in there. Coloring, make the pill look pretty. Maybe it's a pink color. I don't know what it's going to be. But it would appear to me that this new over-the-counter birth control is full of ingredients that can cause metabolic upset and can also be life-threatening. So birth control in general is not to counter unintended pregnancies, but that's what they're doing. They're using it to counter that with the morning after effect, which health authorities say 50% of pregnancies are unintended. 50%. Here is a quote from Kelly Blanchard. She's president of Ibis Reproductive Health, who says, "We are particularly thrilled that the FDA approved Opill with no age restriction. Anybody can buy it. Anybody." So it would appear that birth control is highly focused on due to some changes in abortion laws. And as people die, the births dwindle. Well, this is how cultural segments of populations die out. And that's what we have going on right now. There are not enough births to replace those that are dying. So let me read you this quote from the journal Conversation, January 2023. They said, in 2007, average birth rates were right around 2 children per woman. By 2021, levels had dropped more than 20%, close to the lowest level in a century. Why? They asked. Is this decline because, as some have suggested, young people aren't interested in having children? End of quote. Well, usually if people are of the narcissistic persuasion, they're not really interested. Not really. So, you know, what are we instructed to do in God's word? He says, choose life. That's what he wants us to choose. God encourages us to choose life and to protect the image of God. God provides all things if we just trust in him. So children are meant to be a blessing. So gone are the days when families included like 13 children. Hey, Frank, did you know my grandmother was one of 13 kids? Yep. Of course, you know, immigration around then in the, was it, late 1800s, early 1900s, a lot of people coming into the country. So, you know, things were booming. People had large families. They could afford them. For the most part, they could. So the medicinal herbs, God has provided us actually can help with numerous conditions and even help protect our health. So if you're interested in learning how you use your medicinal herbs for immune support, metabolic support, balancing functions, getting back on track. Well, there's herbs that can do that. And if you want to learn more, call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They'll send you a free product catalog. You can visit their website at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. You can order one right off their website, and it's free. Or you can give them a call at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International numbers, 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972. And heads up, I'm going to give you the information nobody's heard yet. Tomorrow, starting Friday, and that would be the 21st, they're having a special sale. Details will pop up on their website tomorrow, but it'll be 20% off, so details will be there. And if you have questions, just give them a call at 866-229-3663. They're calling it the Friendship Day Sale. So that's really neat. You know, friends are important. Health is important. So this is something to embrace, especially if, you know, you're kind of just stocking up on things. Because, you know, Frank, fall is right around the corner. I mean, look how fast this month is gone. Then you got August, and then September, and then here comes October. You know what I was telling my youngest of three, we were at the hardware store, Lowe's Hardware. And we went in there, and I said, look, they still have all the summer, you know, furniture, you know, patio stuff out. I said, the next time we come in here, it's all going to be Christmas trees, you know, because I think they skip Thanksgiving. They go right from Halloween to Christmas. Bam. And there we are again. It just seems like we just did Christmas. Didn't we just do Christmas, Frank? That's what it seems like to me. All right. So we got a few minutes before we have to you know, take a break. So we're going to jumpstart our next segment of info here. We're going to talk about the hospital hygiene situation. I know, hospitals are supposed to be real clean. I don't know, when I was growing up, Frank, if I had to go visit someone in the hospital, I thought the hospitals were squeaky clean, you know, back in the 60s. No, I don't think so. Now, in November, there was a study in November 2022, University of Bath in the UK, they had some very interesting insights into the bacterial world that we have and how it's transmitted. The study was done by an international team of scientists. They wanted to see how deadly bacteria was actually transmitted. So the species of bacteria they were looking at was MRSA, which, you know, can be a very, very deadly pathogen. It's somewhat drug resistant, so we'll take a look at this. So it's a hospital-acquired infection. MRSA typically is what people pick up. So if you're hanging around hospitals, beware. The bacteria can hang around a multitude of locations. Livestock can have it. Your pets can have it. But that's rarely transmitted to humans, though. But MRSA is from a bacterial family called the Clecibria family. We find this bacteria inside human intestines, and in there it's harmless. But if it gets outside to other organs of the body, it can spell disaster. So the species called Calibisthia, it's if you get the pneumonia version of it, it can cause meningitis, urinary tract infections, and blood infections. So it's pretty nasty stuff. So most of these bacterial infections are transmitted human to human. Close quarters, like in hospitals and nursing homes, can be a MRSA hub. But really, does it have to be? Are they just not, you know, cleaning like they used to? Well, the drugs they were using aren't so powerful anymore. Since MRSA came about, it became quickly drug resistant. It's difficult for the last resort antibiotics to even kill it. So the UK is experiencing a MRSA health crisis most of the time. Infection rates are high, and they tend to steadily increase. Here's a quote from the University of Bath at the UK. They said the WHO has recognized MRSA bacteria as a critical priority healthcare associated pathogen. Now, Ed Thiel, he's a lead professor at Barth, he said MRSA infections are becoming increasingly resistant to antibiotics. So, whereas you used to be able to treat most urinary tract infections very easily, now it is more common that patients are getting infections that keep coming back and causing problems. MRSA pneumonia kills half our patients. End of quote. Oof. So where do you find MRSA? Well, scientists tested many areas for the bacteria. They collected over 6,548 samples, and they listed several places. They checked it at hospitals, which was listed as a major problem area. They checked nursing homes, livestock areas, wastewater, insects or houseflies. They checked patients, and also they even checked standing water like puddles. So the team analyzed the bacteria, and they found that 15 species of MRSA and half of the samples were MRSA pneumonia bacteria. They also found that there was little, if any, overlap in the MRSA found in hospitals, and that compared to the environment, very little overlap. So the scientists found that MRSA pretty much is everywhere. This is Ed Thiel again. He says, we found it was present everywhere, but we were surprised that the strains that we found in hospitals were different to those found in the environment, indicating there's a very little transfer between the two habitats, and humans always catch this bacteria from other humans. So, you know, be careful you're out there playing in the sandbox, you know. So it's interesting that MRSA bacteria strains are in our environment, such as the soil and your lakes and streams that we swim in. And why we are not really getting affected eating a salad or water skiing is quite the mystery. So this is a real stumper for science right now. So, I don't know, Frank. Do you think hospitals can, you know, cut down on the transmission of the stuff if they kept things cleaner? I think they could. I really do. I think maybe they need to change their method of cleaning and what they're using to clean. What do you think, Frank? Yeah, he says, but they won't. Well, you're absolutely right, because the bottom line is the bottom line. And, you know, if you want to do a really good job, it's going to cost more. So, and by the way, you know, when people are sick, they make money. That's right. So, all right. So we're going to take a little break. We got to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to finish this topic and a whole lot more. We'll be right back.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
Thank you.
the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Well, thank you, Frank. Right, we're back here on Herb Talk. We're talking about some of the hospital hygiene out there. You know, I worked in hospitals, and I've seen a lot of stuff, and you'd be surprised. Sometimes the janitorial crew is really good, and sometimes they're not. I mean, I've seen toilets in patients' rooms, and it had all this green sticky solution all over it, and I had to call janitors up there to clean it up. What it was, you know, cleaning solution that you kind of just squirted around, and they didn't clean with it. And, you know, I worked in intensive care, and intensive care I probably felt, and the respiratory intensive care I kind of felt were the cleaner sections of the floor that I worked on was much cleaner than the heart and the step-down heart area. So, you know, it's just amazing. You would think hygiene would be their number one thing. So now, according to Consumer Reports, one of the biggest threats to hospital patients isn't their disease or their hospital-acquired disease, which infects 722,000 annually, according to the CDC. What it is the prescribed drugs they're getting and the prescription errors that are happening. So other risks are hospital-acquired infections, surgical mistakes, drug side effects, and human errors. So reports are indicating that these risks affect 1 in 4 hospital patients. So an elderly hospital patient is at a much higher risk, according to the Consumer Reports. So if you're over 65 and you're going to be a higher risk of dying while you're at the hospital, reports citing about 180,000 hospital deaths a year in that age bracket. So according to another report, this is Archives of Internal Medicine. They did a study in 2010 and 11. They found approximately 50,000 reported hospital deaths are due to a disease the patients acquired during their stay. Now, this number is significantly lower than the report published by the U.S. Center for Disease Control. They cited 75,000 deaths. And according to the Oh, this is Dr. Lewis Chang. He's a hospital. He was in the hospital. He acquired a disease. He says these hospital diseases can kill 3 times more Americans each year than HIV can. So that's a doctor that works in the hospital. So what's really shocking is that modern medicine has estimates and really not established real numbers, which, you know, are thought to be much higher. So doctors and scientists are analyzing hospital data. They were looking at between 1998 and 2006. It had over 69 million Americans that were admitted to U.S. hospitals, and they discovered that most of the hospital-acquired infections came from dirty hospital equipment like catheters and ventilators. Yeah, those don't get cleaned very well either. They also found the diseases from these sources were a span of common bacterial pathogens like pneumonia and also new drug-resistant bacteria pathogens like MRSA. John Hopkins researcher Dr. Peter Progbenost, he believes with strict hygiene procedures and safety checks and checklists for the people cleaning, all your hospital employees should be doing a checklist, he said, and they did a test, and it showed that the hospital-induced infections dropped to zero when that happened. Mm-hmm. But, like, again, you know, our healthcare system makes money when they have sick patients. You know, keeping everybody too well isn't good for their bottom line. That's just a reality. Money answereth all things. That's what God says. Let me read you another quote. This is from Peter Provenos. He's a medical doctor, adult critical care at St. John's, or St. Hopkins, John Hopkins. He said, these deaths are invisible. The public doesn't know. They are happening one at a time, silently, and patients think they are unavoidable. So, you know, they'll just say to the loved ones of the person that's sick and dying of, you know, a hospital-borne infection, you know, it happens. But we know, he says, from our large patient study, this is not the case. Mm-hmm. All right, so what are the types of silent killers? These are infectious pathogens that you can pick up at the hospital. They're going to be things like blood infections, respiratory infections, and skin infections. So Dr. Provenos' study showed that hospitals are not doing enough to keep patients healthy and safe. He suggests that people should investigate the hospital's infectious rating. He said if the hospital does not keep track to offer a rating, or if the rating is over 1 in 1,000, he says you should go somewhere else. So he also feels that patients should expect their hospital to offer minimal risk, if any, because the diseases patients acquire there are preventable, he says. So if they're not preventing them, what does that tell you? So the CDC states 1 in 25 patients will get a hospital-acquired infection. Dr. Provenos also recommends that patients and family members question everything until they receive the adequate and truthful answers. He goes on to say, a healthcare system that doesn't address your concerns is a risky one. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's look at the hospital checklist. If you do acquire, or if you require, let's say you have to go to the hospital, hopefully not, but if you have to go, you should have a strategy in place and be active, proactive, lessen your risk. So here's a checklist. Get your hospital safety ratings, including their infectious rate, before you schedule anything there. Check your hospital's ratings against nationwide hospitals, 3,000 major hospitals, and see how it stacks up. And before hospital admission, understand your healthcare policy and what is covered and what is not. So you want to pay close attention to any federal law requirements that will impact your insurance, and be aware that the rules that doctors have to follow in order for your stay to fall within your insurance guidelines, because doctors don't usually pay attention to those details, and it could cost you a lot of out-of-pocket money. So you need to be on top of that. Let me give you an example. If you're at the hospital and you're technically listed as under observation, this is not actually an actual admission, and the patient pays for the stay. Now, sometimes you could be under observation in, let's say, the emergency room for 2 or 4 hours, and if it's bad enough to be admitted, then you move to admission. So the 2 or 4 hours prior, that insurance doesn't pay. Typically, anyway. So check your hospital rating online. Look at blogs where patients offer, you know, feedback, reviews. So these days, people are, you know, free to give their opinion on everything, from the restaurant to resorts. So why not hospitals? Look for those. Now, see if there are posts regarding the bedside manner of hospital staff and how well the staff communicates with each other and with patients. Was the hospital clean, or was it too messy and noisy? So those are all good things to ask regarding a hospital you're thinking about going to have a procedure at. Now, if there's time before your hospital admission happens, have a meeting with your doctor and write down what is discussed, such as the treatment plan. And any doctor orders he's suggesting. So you want to get a list of the medications that may be given. You want to find out what tests plan to be used or done and how long the stay is going to be. Also, ask what could go wrong, as most procedures and tests have unforeseen circumstances, and most hospitals or doctors don't like to volunteer that kind of information unless you ask about it. Now, it's a good idea also to conclude your fact-finding session with a direct question to your doctor, such as, is there anything else that I need to know about my treatments or my hospital stay? Mm-hmm. And it may also be pertinent to bring a voice-activated recorder with you. So check to see if the drugs that will be used have any conflict with other medications or over-the-counter things that your supplements you're taking. And you'd be surprised how doctors and pharmacists don't check that. Get generic names of all the drugs as well. This could significantly reduce the drug adverse events. And check for drug duplicates. You know, how many diuretics does a person need to be on? Try to avoid being admitted during weekends or holidays, as there's fewer staff on hand, and research is suggesting patients received reduced post-operative care during weekends. Now, depending on your procedure and your age, you want to check to see if there is an increased risk for stroke or heart attack and discuss that with your doctor. And some procedures, like knee replacement, offer a higher risk of getting blood clots. So this information will help you to determine your risk assessment while you're at the hospital, and even for the next decade, you know, and also the follow-up treatment. Now, hospitals tend to change what they want for services, especially private hospitals. So we want to check to make sure the costs for treatment are within your usual customary fees that are charged by healthcare providers. If your hospital charges, let's say, $10,000 more for a procedure, the insurance company may not cover that, and you'd have to consider that as excessive costs, and you may have to foot that bill if you have it done there. Arrange for transportation and someone to assist you at home after being discharged. And most people don't even consider preparing a living will or a trust before entering the hospital, and power of attorney. Have a power of attorney for a family member, because if something goes wrong, that family member has that power of attorney over your health care. That person can block a lot of unwanted treatment. So a living trust will alleviate your probate court involvement, but having documents listing your health care proxy or someone there that can be proactive there, advocate for you, should be prepared and executed before admission. And in the event that you are incapacitated or have complications like a coma, your proxy can step in on your behalf and make medical decisions for you, what you wanted. Okay, you discuss that ahead. So this will make sure that you won't receive any unnecessary treatments or prolonged care that you don't need or want. You want to plan ahead. Donate your own blood if you're going to need it in a procedure. This reduces the risk of blood-borne diseases through the transfusions. And you may also wish to be screened for infectious disease like MRSA, pneumonia, staph, and other pathogens resistant to antibiotics. And this will help the hospital staff plan and will also prove without a doubt your infection, if you get any, was definitely from the hospital because you didn't have any post-hospital stay. And when you're packing to stay at the hospital, bring personal items for comfort, but do not bring any valuables. And check your paperwork once you've been admitted. If you do not want extraordinary measures, you should, and if you experience, let's say, cardiac arrest, this should be on your patient chart and on your wristband as well. Check for any misspellings on your admission documents. Oh, you'd be surprised. They could come in with their kiosk keyboard and everything and their tablet, and they'll say, okay, you know, I'm from billing downstairs. I need to get your name and address and your phone number and a copy of your insurance card. And you'd be surprised how they can mess all that up. They can type in the wrong address, the wrong date of birth, and so on. Have a surgeon sign his initials on the surgery site prior to going to surgery. So this helps to avoid surgical mistakes in the OR. So if you have like studies, x-rays, have the surgeon initial where the surgery site's going to be on the x-ray, because, oh my goodness, if somebody puts the x-ray upside down, and let's say that it's back surgery, guess what? They're going to be operating in the wrong area. So you want to make sure that has happened. I worked for a neurosurgeon once, and that happened. So have the surgeon put his initials by that surgery site on your study. So when it's up there on the x-ray, they can go, wait a minute, you know, and fix it before they cut into you. Now be alert for any unnecessary tests or consults that are ordered by your medical staff. Sometimes these extra fees can sneak into your treatment. Dr. Andrew Saul, he's the author of Hospitals and Health, he states that surgery is a very overused option and patients should research their alternatives. I mean, I had a family member that was in the hospital who was, you know, dehydrated, couldn't keep anything down, wanted to do exploratory surgery of the digestive system. When I pointed out that you're putting antibiotics in their IV, I just saw the nurse do that, and I asked the nurse what it was, and it was an antibiotic they were allergic to, and it was on their chart. Now, I don't know if that was intentional or a big, big, big mistake, but as soon as you get rid of the drug, the person was fine. Watch the pain relief protocols, too, because pain medications can be addictive and too much can be, it can slow your recovery. So too little can actually prolong your stay because you have uncontrollable pain, so you need a balance. So this is a situation where too little and too much pain medicines can extend a hospital stay. Also, ambulate as soon as you can to increase circulation and reduce the risk of blood clots. Also helps prevent bed sores and risk of contracting pneumonia. That's why, you know, when elderly people fall and break their hip, within a day or two, physical therapy is coming up and rolling them down to physical therapy to get up out of bed and move around and kind of thing. So it pays to be proactive. Now, Benjamin Franklin supposedly said, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Now, the statement is very profound, and we should rely on modern medicine for just trauma care, in my opinion, and be proactive about everything else. So think about that. What we should be relying on every day is really organic food, spices, and medicinal herbs. This is the original medicine. This is what God intended us to consume. And science has actually tested things like garlic. Remember, Frank is our garlic guy. They've tested garlic against MRSA, and the garlic kills it. Damn, just like that. Yeah. Herbs are really not an alternative to medicine. It's pretty much the original medicine, and our Creator has sponsored it and encouraged us to use it all through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. You'll see that. So if you want to really dig, I mean, I've been digging into hospital hygiene for a while, and they even know, science even knows, if they use, you know, on the bed handles and the doorknobs specific alloys, it cuts down on pathogen transmission. So, I know, you got to remember where you pick up a lot of stuff. So, hospitals, of course, and the most filthy item in the hospital is the fabric curtain that they pull between the beds to separate beds. Hardly ever washed. Stethoscope is the next one. Doctors don't clean that. If you're on an airplane, you think it's the bathroom that you have to worry about on a plane, but it's really that tray that's right in front of you. And of course, you know, everybody knows about the gas pump, right? Okay. So definitely do your due diligence out there. And, cause I find that a majority of the internal medicine issues these days is lack of minerals, and a lot of times the lack of minerals is from drug therapy. It just flushes the minerals right out of you. So, yeah. All right, so we're going to be, we've got a few minutes, so we're going to be looking at another thing here. Basically, we were talking about clots for the women taking the, birth control. But there are some other medicines that can encourage clotting. So we want to look at those, because a lot of times these drugs can be a double-edged sword. Here is Vanderham, Dr. Vanderham, Suresh Vanderham, professor of radiology and surgery, Washington University School of Medicine. He says, we're dealing with a very sharp double-edged sword here. None of us was surprised to find that the treatment of thrombosis removal with adjunctive catheter is riskier than the blood thinning drugs alone. So procedures and medications have risks. And you have to know what those risks are and see if you want to accept those risks before you engage. Stephen Carson, he's a medical chief of rheumatology and immunology at Winthrop University Hospital in New York. He said, it is not entirely surprising that the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs are again implicated in causing clot-related illness. Do you recall the drug Vioxx, a powerful non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug? And it was withdrawn from the market in 2004 due to the drug causing deadly heart attacks and strokes. Steve Carson goes on to say, aspirin is the original non-steroidal anti-inflammatory. And Aleve, according to most studies, shows it to carry no clotting risk. He's astonished by that. Mortine Schmidt, medical doctor, clinical epidemiology, Aarhus University Hospital, he says patients who take non-steroidal anti-inflammatories have a greater risk, double the risk, he says, of developing blood clots in their legs and lungs. Also, previous studies showed these medications increase the risk of cardiac fibrillation as well as thrombosis. I mean, I'm amazed. I mean, I was just talking to someone the other day that they were put on, blood thinning drugs. And I said, do your doctor even tell you the difference between the new generation of blood thinners and the old generation of blood thinners? He goes, no, why? I said, there's a difference. If you're in a trauma situation with the old blood thinners, Coumadin and Werifin, they have an antidote to stop the blood thinning so you don't bleed out. With the new blood thinner, they do not. So he goes, nobody told me that. I know. I mean, I've talked to people for years, and that's what they say. I didn't know that. Doris Stever, MD, Danish Health Medical Authority, says, we recommend that patients with heart problems avoid non-steroidal anti-inflammatories completely. In general, these drugs should be used with caution for the shortest amount of time possible. William Muir, MD, professor of emergency medicine, says, in light of the long-term benefit patients will receive from antiplatelet therapy, the small risk of intracranial hemorrhage could not be seen as a game changer. Yeah, so this was a University of Michigan study in 2013. Certain drugs create blood clots, and blood clotting preventing therapies called clot-busting medicines, or TPAs, create what is called a slow brain bleed, and there's no symptoms. You don't even know it's happening. So Pradaxa and Xarelto are on the list. So just know that. So anyway. And Philip Wells, he's a medical doctor at Ottawa Hospital, Canada, says, we know from previous studies and about 40% of venous thrombosis patients are on long-term blood thinners. Amazing, isn't it? U.S. National Library of Medicine in 2001 said, fibrinogen levels are regulated by interesting and complex interplay between environment and genes. So this protein level in your blood, fibrinogen, helps regulate clots. You got normal clots when you should have them and not on abnormal clots. So it's directly influenced by diet. They're calling it environmental and genes. But your diet changes your genes in 6 days. You change your diet, you can change your genes in 6 days. So a healthy diet can do that. So fibrinogen level is definitely going to respond to a better diet. So watch the alcohol consumption, the smoking, lack of regular exercise, excessive sugar, anything that has inflammatory action in your body if you have food allergies. Get some more omega-3 fatty acids going in, lots of fatty fishes, and get some antioxidants as well. So Wendell Berry says, people are fed by the food industry, which pays no attention to health, and are treated by the health industry that pays no attention to food. Couldn't have said it better. All right, so thepowerherbs.com has got a free catalog if you want to go there, thepowerherbs.com. Or give them a call at 866-229-3663 and get empowered. Yep, you got to take responsibility. You can't count on the white coats to do all that. They're not going to do all that. So you're going to have to, you know, you have to check it out. Always check it out, because you'd be astonished what you find. Yeah, don't forget the sale. The sale starts tomorrow, so it's 20% off. Orders of $55 or more at thepowerherbs.com. So you want to stock up, get some things you need, take advantage of that. So details will be online, or just give them a call at 866-229-3663. And it expires, the sale will go away on the 31st of July, and restrictions apply. Well, I can see that I am out of time. So the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.